Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello and welcome back to the Mission Accepted podcast show. Best audience ever. Okay, now you got me singing because you guys are just sending in all sorts of requests. Super excited. Our guests have been blown away by the attention that they've been getting from the show as well. And I just want to thank you so much for being the best audience because, well, you are. And simply said, you are. Look, if it's your first time for coming on to Mission Accepted, you have landed in a very special spot on a very special day. We have an incredible guest with us today. And I'm going to introduce her in just a minute, but I want to talk a little bit about what the show is. Because when people hear Mission Accepted, they're like, that's kind of cool. I had a friend of mine, I was just at a really big women's event actually yesterday, and they're like, Mission Accepted, is that like kind of like that James Bond thing? And I'm like, well, kinda. Because if you're an entrepreneur, it is like that, right? It's like you're dodging bullets and you're jumping over leap buildings. You're somewhere between Wonder Woman, Superman, and I guess James Bond. Because when you decide to take on the mission of a project, directing a movie, becoming an entrepreneur, launching a magazine, selling widgets, whatever it is that you guys do, you say yes at some point. Like somewhere along the line, you went from idea to yes. It could have been under pressure, could have been your best friend forcing you into business with them, could have been something that you thought about for 10 years, and then finally you decided to do that. I know right now that there's one of my clients, and we're working together, and he's 57 and he has always wanted to do an album, and he's an incredible singer. So here we are like 20, 25 years later, putting his first album to market. So some of you have been thinking about this for a long time. I think Dee, who's going to share with you her inspiration today, is going to tell you to jump maybe a little sooner, but jump in a little sooner. Don't miss out on all this crazy fun, people. Anyways, the stories and the inspiration, even if you are not an entrepreneur, I know that you've been laughing along with us and watching the journey. So I am going to get into having a conversation with this incredible woman who created a magazine. I'm going to let her say the title because it's an important part of what she does and how she came up with that title. I have been so blessed to be featured in this magazine, and I recommend that if you like exposure, you do that as well. But tell us, everybody calls you Dee, what's the name of your magazine?
Hi, Deborah. The name of my magazine is Women Rock Magazine. I'm very, very proud of this magazine. We started it a little over a year ago. It's gotten amazing attention. It's been received so well. And I feel blessed, of course, to have you in this wonderful magazine because you are an inspiration to all as well, especially to women and to men, of course. Women Rock Magazine, I came up with the title because I sort of knew when I thought about starting a magazine, that was going to be the title. Women Rock Magazine. I did want to, for it to be directed more towards a female audience. I wanted something of our own for us, for women. So the name was easy for me. Women Rock. We're strong. We are inspirational, and we are at the helm most of the time. We were on the ship. So yeah, that's where the name came from.
So you talk about this magazine, and I love the fact that this is fresh and new and hitting the market. This is something that you've launched a year ago. And so we got to dig a little deeper. I mean, I know all the things that are really important to you, your beautiful family and your children, the light of your life and all that good stuff. And so many of us are those, we have multifaceted lives. I mean, if you're over 16, you have a multifaceted life right now. I mean, that's why we've dedicated 1 week to this Gen Z generation. I'm talking this 12-year-old, 16-year-old, 18-year-old, full-on entrepreneurs, launching into the world of entrepreneurship.
I know. Yeah, for sure.
So tell us how this came to be. Like, what was your inspiration? What's your story, girl?
Well, my story is, I've been an interior designer for years, about 20 years. And over the years, being in Ottawa for 20 years, now in Newfoundland, over those years, I've met so many wonderful women. And in the interior design industry, really, you deal with women mostly. And it's not only pick your furniture type of relationship, it's a very personal connection when you're dealing with those clients and creating a beautiful home for them, especially for women. So I get to hear a lot of their stories. We'd sit on the couch. I've had clients bake cookies for me and, of course, put the kettle on and all of these wonderful things. So I've got to meet so many wonderful women over the years and heard so many inspirational stories from them. And really, that's what got me thinking. I mean, it wasn't only a year ago that I thought about this magazine. It was many years ago, in the making, in my brain, in my mind. And speaking and meeting with so many wonderful women over the years, they inspired me. I'm that woman who really I'm a great listener. I'm passionate. I'm compassionate. And even you and I getting to know each other, we're very similar that way. What we tackle, we tackle with great passion and compassion. So over those years, it really fed into my desire to start a magazine, a women's magazine. And that's really where it came from. And just a little over a year ago, it came to my mind that let's do it. Like I wanted to do it. And I did start it with a friend of mine who was very passionate at the same time, but she got sidetracked with a lot of other things. And I actually contemplated at some point, you know what? I'm just going to move on. It's just me. I'm just going to move on. But no, I couldn't. I had such passion for this magazine. I said, no, I'm going to rock on. And I did. And I do work with some great editors as well. My husband has been amazing when it comes to the high tech side of it. But I love creating. Anything to do with creating, I love it. I live it. I sleep it. So yeah, that's how it came about.
You know, when I say that about entrepreneurs, I say really, because people will say that to myself as well. They'll be like, wow, you're doing so many things. And I go, here's the interesting thing about an entrepreneur that's turning into an entrepreneur or has a very colorful background. You always know when you're dealing with someone creative, right? Because I said, you know, for example, my son paints pictures and he makes pictures and like he's pumping these pictures out like crazy. And people are like, oh my God, it's amazing. And all that stuff, right? Yeah. But I said, but when someone has multiple projects or they've got this on the go and this, people go, oh, that's so much. And I'm like, just look at what we do as canvases. Like our businesses are canvases, you know, whether it's interior design and then you launch a magazine and when you, you know, you kind of do this, it's just really, it's just a creative form of expression and inspiration and it lands in that basket of entrepreneurship. So
it's true. And I think as creative people we can't stop. We love that. We really absorb it. It's like people say to me, Dee, you've got so many things going on. How do you do it? You must be exhausted.
I know.
And I feel like, no, not really, because I just love the magazine. I have such passion for it. And interior design, they go hand in hand. So, and I feel like I said this to my husband, I said, I feel like if I'm not creating, I'm sinking. I need my brain to be creating something. So it's the magazine is not work. It's just it's a passion. It's so easy because it comes naturally for me. And people, I'm a people person, as you are yourself.
Yeah.
And people, it's easy for me. So I love chatting with women. So it's all part of the passion of creating.
And I think that's an important piece. I just want to kind of dilate. First of all, I love, you know, I'm like, oh man, that should be the title of the podcast. Put the kettle on. Hashtag put the kettle on. I literally wrote that down as we were talking.
Yep. That's a Newfoundland thing. Yep.
Put the kettle on. But you know what? That put the kettle on is actually, I think it's pretty symbolic globally because no matter where you are in what country, it just means sit and be with me. Like really, just means let's sit, let's be with me, sit and be with me, let's connect. Whether it's 3 minutes. Yep. Three minutes of connection, but I want to go back a little bit because there's a lot of, so first of all, if any one of you are creative out there, you have more than one idea. I mean, I certainly had to battle, like literally I had someone say, wow, you do so many things as if it was a derogatory statement. And I found myself for years because, you know, I came from a generation where people were like, do one thing, if you focus, the one thing you'll do, you'll get more back. And I'm like, but my brain doesn't work that way. And so the one thing is this overarching So people are like, I'm just here to serve, right? Like, yeah. I'm just doing what I'm being told to do. Right? Not my fault. But what I want to say to people is that that is really an archaic way to think about people. We're so expansive. And so if you are a creative out there and you've got people around you trying to put you in a box or accepting you, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, that's just you. You've always been like that. You know what? Yeah. Come join this team. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Come join this team. Yeah. Come put the kettle on with us. Just know that there's, you know, when you find your tribe, right? When you find your tribe, you're like, it's so true.
It's so true. And that needs to be nurtured, right? And really you need to be around people with the same mindset who can really understand where you're coming from, because those people who put you in a box, they're probably happy doing their thing, but we're not. I can't. I've tried the office thing, sitting from 9 to 5 and looking at a computer and as an executive secretary years and years ago. I can't do it. It's not me. I'm a mover and a shaker.
And it's not like anything's wrong with them or us. There's not anything wrong with it. It's kind of nice how it comes together. But the other thing that you talked about, that let's talk about that is, and I don't want to, I rarely say the word balance, because I would rather say the word inclusion. Because the word balance still has, I don't know about you, but when you're in school and they had that pie and this, you know, it's like fruits and vegetables, meat and, you know, and grains and milk. And we have this idea that balance needs to be 4 equal parts. But when you have other people you're responsible to, like you're a parent, you're a wife, other people have siblings, other people have, you know, like spouses or families or aging parents or brand new little ones that are running around their feet. And the expansion or the creation of having to have that. I mean, I heard you say that you called your husband in and he's helping you with tech. How do you do your balance? How do you do your balance, as much as we don't use the word balance?
To balance everything that I do, I try to be as organized as I possibly can, of course, with that creative brain, though, as we know, we're doing so many things at the one time. Sometimes it's really hard to be a little bit organized, right? But I balance it really well with regards to the magazine, with my interior design. It's about multitasking, right? And I've always found that I'm a great multitasker, making sure I finish things on time. And it keeps me in check, to be honest, because trying to balance two things, being an interior designer with my clients, now I'm doing a lot of online design, working with more folio and the storyboards. I give myself timelines because if I don't, it's so easy to be sidetracked with our creative brain. I do find that we're kind of right-brained and we just, like I say, all over the place. But I have a great balance, we'll say, with a great team of editors, with my husband being the high-tech guy. I'm not a computer person, although I've learned so much since I've started this magazine. I give it my all and really stay focused on what I need to do.
So I imagine that falls into your family life as well. So a lot of times people will say, I don't know if I can do this because, you know, my kids need me. I don't know if I can do this because
that's right.
I don't know I can do this. And so it sounds to me like, I mean, for me, what I do is I always say that my business is fill in the cracks. Like I built my empire in 15 minute increments I have 2 kids that are 10 years apart. I've done more pumpkin patches than some parents have had 6, right? So on the way on the pumpkin patch, you know, it's like, it's okay to do a little text, you know what I mean? Or like,
I know,
on the
I
way.
Know.
So that's me. I fill it in little increments. Do you have something to work things with your family?
That does make sense. We do. I mean, the kids really know how busy mommy is. And like you say, as women, we do juggle a lot more. I do find it's just because we're the nurturers. We're at the helm. My daughter is 12. They're 12 years apart. So very similar to your kids, right? It's all about, like you say, we don't like the word balance, but yes, we do have to balance somewhat with regards to family life, because we have to put the phone down at times. It's very hard for us because nowadays everybody is connecting via their phone, putting the phone down and really making sure we do have that family time. So we do it in sections as well, making sure that we're, you know, being the mom first and foremost. It's very, very important to me, connecting with my kids, especially my 20-year-old. even though they're 20, they're not really. So we have to make sure we're still guiding them. We're still nurturing them as well. So yes, very much the same as what you're doing.
I'm not married anymore, but when I was married, I did the same thing. My husband was very much playing part of it. My, my son, when I went to go do a trade show, so I was, you know, leaving town, I would call him every time I made a sale and I would add $5 to his bank account. And he was like, I'm like, Mom has to go on a trip. He's like, you go, Mom. he's like, I'm going to buy a new pair of running shoes. You know what I mean? Like, so
you're
just including them.
You're making part of that. You know, it's so funny you said that. So I didn't touch on that, but yes, my 7-year-old, Deborah, he took one of the pictures in this magazine inside the cover and the editor page. My son, my 7-year-old, took that picture in my living room.
That's so cool, I should mention,
he's very much a part of the magazine. And I do try to include him because he's more available than my daughter right now. he's always around. So yes, Tyler did take that picture of me. So yes, I do try to include him. And I have him look over the magazine and tell me what you like the most about it. And would you put a word in there that I didn't? Would you kind of? So yeah, I do. I do try to make him part of the magazine for sure. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to warn you because I have a question for you that I want to ask about the magazine, but so yesterday, I went to a big women's event in Victoria, which is a 2-hour ferry ride. And my son was a ferry ride away. And he was like, you know, doing the surfer dude thing on the other side of the island. And I get this text and he's like, so my name's the only name on my credit card, right? And I had him on a credit card with me so I could see. And then the time came, fair warning. Now he's starting his first company at 18 years old. So I took him to the bank and got him a credit card. And I was like, pretty sure I didn't put any money on there. And I'm pretty sure I know what you're. So I was like, you have 2 credit cards and why are you asking? fair warning. I just want to make sure it's my name. And I was like, well, hey, okay. What? Yeah. Anyways, I just want to warn you what's coming down the pipeline. But look, I want to talk to you about your magazine, because there are magazines in the world that are, you know, sectioned off. I'm doing a book. I hope you're in it. At the end of the year, we're launching the 262 women entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs, creatives, and media. There's going to obviously be a lot of women there that you're going to want to talk to. Rocking Legacy and Tell All. So it's a big book, you know, 500 pages. It's going to be amazing. It's not something I produce every month, and it's not probably going to be produced. Well, it's not going to be produced every year. So there's sectors, and there's women magazines, and there's this magazines, and there's baking magazines, and there's fashion magazines, and there's men's magazines. So what makes your magazine unique? I mean, outside of, you know, dealing with you has been super cool, and you have, you know, a great heart for things like community and that kind of stuff. But what makes your magazine unique?
I really do feel this magazine is very unique with regards to women being able to tell their stories. Mm-hmm. It's a platform. It's a platform for these women. And if any of you guys have read anything in these magazines so far, there is some amazing, heartwarming, sad, and very courageous stories in these magazines. I feel that it makes this magazine unique with regards to, again, a platform for these women to tell their stories and for the readers to really understand that there's women out there that are going through things that maybe you're going through as well. And it's a way to connect with other women. And there's not only people advertising their businesses, it's what comes with the ad. I always ask my ad ladies to, you know, write your story about how you came to where you are and why you started your business. So it's not only placing an ad, a generic ad, it's about getting to know these women. So with regards to the ad placements, I want our readers to connect with these ladies. It's a very unique thing that I offer women. And if you're not placing an ad, fine. If you want to just write an article about what you've been through, overcoming adversity, let's talk about it. And just, I want those in the magazine. I want women to connect. And it's almost therapy in a way, reading other people's stories, going, wow, that's amazing. She went through this for, you know, maybe she was an alcoholic, or maybe she went through ADHD, something very traumatic to this person. Wow, I'm going through that. I'm connecting with this person. It just makes life feel more real and you feel more accepted. You feel more understood. And I really feel that that's what this magazine gives back gives to women in particular, and men too, to read these beautiful magazines and connect with certain issues, women.
You know what? I have to say that it was very freeing. So obviously I do a lot of, I write forwards for books, and I've been in, you know, I have the media company. So I've written books, I've written chapters, I've been in magazines and all that kind of good stuff. And the one thing that I have to say in your magazine or is that you create space. So that was, you know, I respect that. I like that. It's kind of the same thing I'm doing in my book where people get this space and you're like, Deb, let's have space so you can write your story. Let's make it about connecting, making it about information, but it allows it, you know, because not, you know, when you're doing things like magazines or articles or interviews, even today, you know, we're doing interview. We're like, so what can we touch on? There's so many things we're not. I mean, we could sit here and talk for 3 or 4 hours. If our listeners wanted to go grab breakfast, lunch, and dinner, we could probably rock their whole day. So, you know, there's, you're defined, but in your magazine, you're like, no. Oh, if it's, if your story takes up one page, let's do two. Let's like, there's a sense of freedom that you can have space and it's really, I honestly, you know, if you ever change the magazine or do a sub thing, turn the kettle on is really appropriate because you allow that. And that's, I think, where you're building a really strong community because we don't get allowance. And what I mean by allowance is the best example I can give, and this might sound crazy. Like, honestly, when I tell my friends this, they were like, did they empty your bank account? But I read an article when my kids were young and it said something like they hear the word no, something like 560% more than they hear the word yes. And then we wonder why our kids lack in philosophy of abundance. And, you know, the world is our oyster. And we wonder why they are afraid to go reach out or because they've heard no so much. Now, I'm not saying say yes to your two-year-old that wants to go play with your favorite, I don't know, pen or whatever. I'm just saying we say no a lot. Yeah. So I created these things called yes days. So every like 4 months, when we woke up, my kids, whatever they asked for, whatever they was, I was not allowed to say anything but yes. So you can imagine they always turned into shopping days. So I remember being at a store. Now here's the thing. Thank goodness my kids were, you know, fair. But I remember one of these yes days, I had to run off to a doctor's appointment super quick and come back. My daughter was old enough. We're on Robson Street shopping downtown Vancouver. So she's at the store. I'm like, I literally got to go and pick up, you know, pick up some information. I'll be back in like 20 minutes. She's like, okay. So I come back and there's a stack of clothes there. Nothing crazy, but not small. Yeah. And she's like, I know I'm only going to take a couple. And I saw this kind of back, like, I'm only going to take a couple of these. And I looked at the pile and I thought, it wasn't crazy. It's not like we were at Chanel or anything, right?
Right.
And I thought, okay, Deb, test to test. Are you really? And so she's like, so I'm just going to pick a couple of things. So she went and she showed me everything. And I thought, here's my magical moment. Like, there was one where my son wanted to buy a piece of art. That was, and I said, yes. And it's hanging in my house. I'm not saying that, you know, not saying that I love it, but so it was a moment, but it was his first moment of commerce. It was the first one. He's like, if I buy this picture and then it gets on Antique Roadshow one day, I could buy a dog. Who's going to say no to that?
So I love him. Like, that's amazing.
It was only $300. So I said to my daughter, let's just get it all. Oh. And the look on her face was like, and it honestly, it changed, I think, neuronally in her, the availability that we are open and deserve to. Now, parents, that's what you do in your magazine.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And that's a great way to analyze it because I totally hear you when it comes to saying no to kids. We say no a lot, especially when they're younger. And yeah, it does maybe affect them in a way that we don't understand sometimes, right? Everything's a no, everything's a no. I love the yes day. And of course, especially since we've seen that movie, my little guy's been asking me, mommy, can we have a yes day? And oh, I haven't done, oh my gosh, Jennifer Garner, yes day.
Oh,
oh, you have to see it, it's hilarious. It's really, really cute. So I thought that's where you got it.
Damn, she took my idea again. God, that
one. Yeah, exactly. But I love that. And it's because like your daughter sounds very much like mine. She doesn't ask for something every day. They're not, she's not always asking mommy, take me shopping. So when you do that and you dedicate a day to one of your kids, it's nice for them to be able, it's okay to say yes.
Yeah.
It's okay to say yes. I mean, that's, you know, they're not wanting everything every day, but it's kind of nice for them to have that day. Wow. It makes them feel special and it makes them feel, wow, I'm, you know, it's okay. Mommy doesn't mind doing that for me.
I think it just changes perspective. Now, when I first started doing it, I got to tell, I was scared, you know, because I started when they were younger, and as they got older, and then, you know, I invited my niece on a yes day, and I think, you know, I just look at it as my day of giving back. But
exactly.
You know, I remember my son last time, he's like, so does that include electronics? I'm like, I'm so in trouble.
Oh, especially with electronics. But yes, thank you for saying that with regards to the space in the magazine. Yeah. I do try to be very flexible. I'm very flexible with the magazine. I want to hear your stories. If it's 2 or 3 pages, I don't care. Let's put it in there. If your ad runs over into another page and you're only paying for 2, I don't care. Yeah. Let's get it in there. I love content. I love all of these women. And it's not about, you know, being frugal with, oh my gosh, we can only do. No, it's the magazine is very, very flexible that way. So, and I love that concept. It's giving back for me.
From a business point, when people are listening from a business point, perspective, and we all know that having exposure, there's been a lot of obviously social media, and you know, magazines have been going digital, and all of that good stuff, and content is so important, and being able to share that content with others, and I've read this, and which is why I'm always thanking our audience, because they share all this content so much.
Exactly.
I know that community is important to you. So maybe share a little bit about how you've chosen to add community into your business, why, and how you do that. Because there's so many people like, oh, I did it with my son. He's launching his company. I'm like, okay, who are we going to support? And he was like, what do you mean? Who are we going to support? Didn't you see that this was going to cost me money? And I'm like, yeah, but who are we impacting? What aligns with your mission? You know, Ocean, what is it that you want to do? And what's that culture? And that's lining something up here where, and I know you're very much part of that. Share about your, you just have such love for community. Maybe share something.
I do. I have such love for community. And really that's where social media plays a huge part of this online digital magazine. And I'm on so many social media outlets, and Facebook is huge. I am on Instagram, but Facebook is where my ladies are. And this is where I've connected with so many groups on Facebook as well, with women who are so passionate about the magazine. I'm reaching people all over the world, as you know, India, Singapore, Philippines. I have women everywhere reaching out and wanting to be in the magazine. It's heartwarming and amazing how it's gone so far. Being back on the East Coast has been really surreal in a way, because I'm really connecting with a lot of people here, a lot of old friends, and the community here is amazing. Trying to get my magazine here more, really focusing on community here more now too. It's so new here. It's Newfoundland is an island, and we're a little bit behind, and it's more secluded, and people are fascinated by the magazine. They're like, really, you have a magazine? Like, it's amazing to people. For me, it's like, yeah, sure, it's a magazine. But to people who've never ever thought that, you know, it would, something like that would be here. I'm really connecting with the community here with the magazine. I'm talking to a lot of shops downtown, St. John's, Newfoundland, the tourism shops. They want to see my magazine and the stores. So that's where I'm at with community, just connecting every day, reaching out to women, whether it's here, Ontario, Vancouver, everywhere, and just chatting online and building that sense of trust and connection, and just nurturing women in general. I have chats on Zoom and Facebook Messenger with ladies who I don't really know, but just want to chat about the magazine. They might not necessarily want to be in it, but they just want to talk about, what is it all about? Like, how is this, what are you doing? Like, how did you do this? It's fascinating. So yeah, I'm just building my community everywhere through social media. Really.
Is your magazine digital and paper, or is it?
Yes,
it's paper and digital. Oh, so I'm going to get you to send me a copy. Oh,
definitely. Yes. And I'm in the process of doing that. I have a lot of women reach out. A lady just ordered 13 copies. Mm-hmm. Now, it's my magazine is published through Issue, ISSUU. And unfortunately, you just can't go online and buy it. I would love for my readers just to be able to go online and buy it. You can't. It has to be purchased through me. Mm-hmm. It's just something that Issue has. I've researched it and they just don't allow us. Maybe they will in the future, not at the moment. Right. So let me know. I can send you some magazines.
Absolutely.
Also, the quality is amazing. It's a little pricey for the magazines, but for me, the quality is there with Issue. So
People are dropping $7 for a shake-up, decaf,
right?
Flappy.
That's true.
Put some cinnamon, easy on the 1.5 espresso, extra hot water, $14 drinks, right? Yep. So honestly.
It's true.
And this is what I say. I mean, I'm more in books, in planners, yes. and you're in magazines. Yes. And what I tell people is read it and pass it. Read it and pass it. Now, there's some books. I mean, I've read some books over and over and over again, and I want to read them. But when you are done, when you feel like you've connected with it, and it's read it and pass it and read it and pass it. And exactly. So whatever someone's paying for a magazine, look at those. The magazines used to be my favorite thing because I'm such a big reader. When I'd go onto a plane, I literally wouldn't bring my books with me, and I'd go to the shop and I'd buy a couple of magazines that I could just look at the pictures and read little things with. Yeah. And it's such a piece, and it's such a place of enjoyment. Like
me too. Love it.
You can breathe, and it's like almost like self-indulgent sometimes, right?
It's true. And we need to do that. We need to do that. And it's okay to do that. And I'm teaching my daughter 20, you know what? It's okay to have me time. It's okay to spend time with yourself and grab a good book or a magazine and just enjoy that time. And I really do. I actually bought a chair to do that with, like an outdoor chair. It's really cute. I bought it the other day from Canadian Tire. It's this beautiful big rattan chair. It's like an egg.
That's gonna
be my reading chair outside, because I love to sit. The amount of magazines I have in my house, Deborah, is unbelievable, and I cannot get rid of them. It's an obsession. I have hundreds that I've started purchasing since I've been 18 or 19 years old. A lot of them design magazines, women magazines, and I do read them over and over. I love it. I need it.
Yes, I absolutely agree. My daughter gave me a magazine subscription last year for Christmas. And so, of course, I get a magazine every month. And I think that's a really beautiful thing. And I want to bring that up as a point, because as someone who gives a lot of thank you gifts or bottles of wine or books as gifts, honestly, one of the best gifts that I've done with my clients, and now that we're talking, we should do this, is give them a subscription, because they think of you often, whether it's quarterly, whether it's bi-monthly. She subscribed me to Vogue because I love fashion and design and art, and Architectural Digest was just like, I was getting like, you know, a little obsessed. So, the things that we love, like I went through a huge, making cakes. Like I did a replica of my my in-law's bedroom. So I used to buy Martha Stewart magazines and cut out pictures of cakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So cute.
Or treasure maps. We all do dream boards every year, and, you know, cutting out pieces of magazines. So magazines are a really great gift to give, because it's kind of the gift that keeps on giving. You buy your subscription, someone's going to think of you 4 times a year or what have you. So
it's true.
Now we're going into marketing. Gift.
Yeah, I know.
Now we're going into marketing. So look, you guys, but really, honestly, wouldn't you like to receive something in a while?
Yeah. It's so true. It's an amazing gift. And when it comes to reading, it is the best gift. No matter what you're reading, it's always great to read. I always tell that to my kids. Read. Pick a book that you love. I don't care what it is. Just pick something and read it. You'll be so inspired by what you read, always.
Yes. Education and information. So there's some great things. Oh my gosh, we could just go into a marketing meeting, but we'll have to keep that for next time.
Definitely.
So look, I want to ask you, is there anything about you being an entrepreneur that surprised you the most? Like, it could be, you know, I could say, hey, you know, because of being an entrepreneur, I ran into Pierce Bronson on a da-da-da-da-da job. It could be something like that, or it could be something where you had an epiphany about yourself, or becoming an entrepreneur and doing your own business. Like, what was something that just really surprised you?
I probably would have to say, when I finished my interior design program years ago at Algonquin, I did a 3-year program and I absolutely loved it. I got out thinking, I never even dreamed of having my own business right away. It did come, but right away I got to get into a company. I got to get into a company, which I did. And I wasn't there very long when I thought, you know, I'm going to try and do it. I'm going to try and start my own business. I want to be my own boss. I want to do it. But I was nervous. I was nervous, and I'll never forget my first client. I was you're in their house. They're trusting you with all of their money. I think my biggest, it was my biggest surprise to feel at the end of that first consultation, to feel so comfortable with what I was doing. And it came so naturally and easy for me. It surprised me because I really didn't think, I was much younger back then. My confidence wasn't as big as it is now. I surprised myself with how great it made me feel, thinking, wow, I can do this. And I'll never forget the anxiety I felt, even like not only at the meeting, but when I got home, I was like, I actually did that, because it's nerve-wracking sitting down and just, you have to exude confidence in what you do. You have to sit there and you know what you're talking. They're trusting you. You can't mm-hmm. be wishy-washy about design. So I finished that first meeting, and it was a little old beautiful lady who sat there and said, why should I be giving you my money? And of course, I'm like, oh my gosh. And I had to explain to her that I've done my schooling. I'm knowledgeable. I feel good about what I do. I know what I'm doing. And it's just exuding that confidence and spilling it over into my clients. And I was very proud of myself at the end of that. And I came home and I said to my husband, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to start my own design company and I'm going to do it. I don't want to work for anybody else. I want to be my own boss. And I surprised myself in a very pleasant way. I was proud. Yeah. It was a proud moment.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, you've said it, right? I don't think, and I think it's okay to, at every level you get to, and I know you understand this because you're a seasoned entrepreneur, that at every level you get to, there's a sense of nervousness.
Yes.
At every, even, gosh, I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, right? And yeah. I got put on the spot with a microphone yesterday in front of someone who, you know, who broke the market, you know, years before I did. And I was like, oh, here we go. You know, here we go. In that moment of nervousness, just seeing, you know, are we where we need to, am I where I need to be and all that good stuff. So anyways, it's all very interesting as we kind of go through the challenges or the mm-hmm. layers of becoming, you know, that next level of entrepreneurship. So anyways, thanks for sharing that. I think that's really a critical piece.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Exuding that confidence and having people believe in you. It's really very important. You know, you have to exude that confidence. And it does take time. It does, you build it over the years, right?
Exactly. Because here's what happens. People are like, how did you get so confident? I literally had two women walk up to me after and they're like, I want to tell you, I just really, your presence was quite considerable and gave me their business card and like, where can we talk? But people go, how do you get confident? And like, you get confident by going and proving to yourself.
Exactly.
Like, people can say your magazine's great, or this is great, or this is great, but you know the nervousness of putting yourself out there. And the only way to get more competent or confident is, I think, is to get more competent. And you get competent by shaking in your knees and going through the process. You got to almost prove it to yourself more than anybody, right?
To prove it to yourself.
Awards are great.
You have to do the work, you have to make those connections, and you have to build yourself up, and people help you do that. And you know, when you're past that microphone, you're like, you're on stage, there you go, Deb. But it's that person having confidence in you to do that, and you did it. So yes, you build your confidence, and that's it takes time, but yes, at our seasoned entrepreneurship right now, we feel like we know what we're doing, we feel confident about it, and it comes across.
Okay, right. So I have a final question for you. And before we do, so now your full name is Deanne Sinha. And I don't know where, if your website is your full name, or, you know, we call you D, your Instagram, your Facebook, like, let people, so obviously now people want to know where they can find the magazine. But if they have any questions about being in the magazine, if they have any questions about running a magazine, because It's like having a show, right? This is stuff that people just didn't do. You had to be a production house. You had to be, you know, Oprah production to have a show and a magazine and a book and all that good stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, this is kind of ooh and awe for people. I can see how they would be walking around your town going, we've got someone here who starts a magazine. Cause it's, you know, even for city, it's a big deal. So it's where and how can people, because people are listening and people are watching us. So we are going to put your information in the show notes for sure. But if people are like listening right now and they want to go see you, where do they go?
I have womenrockmagazine.com. They can check out my website there. I'm on Facebook, Deanne Tobin.
You want to spell that for people? Do you want to spell?
So the last name is Tobin, T-O-B-I-N. I had to make a separate account because I got hacked before. That's the reason behind that was Facebook. So it's Deanne Tobin there. Sinha is my married name.
Yeah.
But Women Rock Magazine, shoot me a message there. All of my magazines are there as well. You can go right in there and click on the link and go to town and read it. It goes directly to issue and you can read it online. It's very, very simple. You'll find me on Facebook, like I say, under Deanne Tobin. You can guys add me as a friend, connect with me there and we can talk. So all of my information is there and in Women Rock Magazine website as well.
Awesome. I'm super excited because, you know, as people are listening to us talk right now, serendipitous. I don't usually tend to talk about the date that you're going to be going live, but it just so happens serendipitously that you're going to be going live the exact same day that we are launching a very considerable book in the marketplace for business. Wow. And so I think that's just so serendipitous that launching you in a magazine live on a Mission Accepted podcast. And then we're doing an incredible drop of our the first book that we've produced this year with 22 women entrepreneurs and history making couples in network marketing tell all. And it's very interesting listening to the couples talk about what it's like to be in business together. Sometimes it's from the men's point of view because they wrote the article or from the women's point of view. So very interesting on how couples and business work together. And here, that's the point I was making it earlier. Even though it was my company, you know, I owned a home party company. It was my ex-husband circled and played around in that company, right? Or, you know, when I've been involved with people and they have a company and you kind of circle around. And it's interesting when people play, you know, that's what family does. That's what, you know, community does.
Absolutely. I mean, I would be lost without the high-tech guy behind me, right?
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, thank God he's so high-tech. It helps quite a bit. So yes, we do work as a team as well. He's a great help with the magazine for sure on that side, but yeah.
I'm going to say this live and I'm going to put it out there because I was reading, so you know, when you do this, so I just got my proof from the publisher and the planner that we're producing that we do, Entrepreneur Planner, and hopefully you'll throw a quote in for us because gosh knows, I'm sure you've got something pretty amazing to say as someone putting a magazine. I'm sure your words are powerful. So she sent me the back cover because, you know, like the more publications, or it could have been this, but more publications. And I had been talking and dancing around a book that I've wanted to do for 2 years now. And it's for women over 50 and how we have had to learn social media to stay current in the marketplace. Like this has been a real issue. Wow. I'm talking a real issue. I mean, I have had colleagues leave. They're like, I'm done. Like I've been in this world of business and what this frustrated last pivot created and being able to even try to capture. I feel like I've been in school for 2 years and it sounds like you too. And we're pulling.
Yes.
I said to my son yesterday, can you please, you know, come over to my house? Cause you know, he has two houses next week. We need to go through your business plan. Yes. And I need you to really get me. I need to learn more about TikTok and NFTs. He's like, okay, mom, he's 18. I'm like,
they know the stuff comes so easy to them. They know it. They've grown up with it.
Yeah. So here's my point. There's a book that I'm going to be producing next year. And as you're talking about how we pull it in, and it's going to be women telling their stories of how they've overcome or how they've worked through this. And anyways, but she listed it. She listed it without asking. You know, me and Dorothea, we're talking this morning about these things that are popping up in our books. We're like, did she change the title of that? So she sent this proof for me and it was Women in Social Media book. And I was like, oh my God, it's in print. What is she? So apparently I'm doing one. So we're going to have to talk about that.
That's awesome. Yes, we definitely have to talk about that because I've struggled with that. It's just, so we have some time, but no, I've struggled with that. So without my husband, I'd be lost with the high tech part of it. I'd be totally honest about that. I'm creative. I can write and create till the cows come home, but the tech side of it, I do struggle with still, but I'm getting it.
Yeah. I think the message there, and I know we're talking over, but I think the message there is that, actually that book will be 2023. That message there is don't let what you don't know stop you from what you do know, because it's what do know can be enough.
That's
what you don't know, you can beg, borrow, steal, or pay for, right?
It's true.
Yeah. And I think to admit where your weak spots are and that, I've been studying this social media thing for 2 years and I'm sure I'm going to be studying the next 5. And the other thing is you're not too late. Someone said it to me the other day. They're like, I don't understand NFTs yet. I've missed the market. I'm like, missed the market? People don't even know what NFT stands for. you're going to miss the market in 20 years. Like,
It's okay not to know. It's okay not to know. Yeah. And it's okay to ask. We're all learning every day. So don't be afraid to ask, but if you have the passion and the compassion to do it, then nothing is going to stop you. Nothing is going to get in your way. You ask when you don't know. That is the best policy in my mind. It's okay not to know. It takes time to learn everything. And the high tech nowadays is just, it comes so easy for our kids. My little girl, like 20, she sets all the TVs up and she sets up my phone and my computer. They know it. They're living it. They've grown up with it. We haven't. So it's all new for us. And we tend to be scared of it. But it's like, don't be scared of it. Nothing's going to happen. Let's just ask and learn. And it's exciting to learn it and to feel confident about it. So it's learning all of these design platforms and these, Canva and issue, and there's so much to learn, right? It's like, oh my God, but it's so easy to quit. But you can't quit when you're so passionate about something. It's just, you have to plug through it, because you'll feel so defeated if you quit. And I'm not that person. You're not that person. It's okay to learn, and it's okay not to know.
Yeah. Okay. Very last question. Okay. You're on your way to a desert island. That's it. You're going, you're packed. You're not coming back. It's you and your suitcase. Woo-hoo! And you can only take one album with you. One music album. What album are you taking with you that you couldn't imagine not listening to for the rest of your days?
Oh my gosh. What album?
I know. It's intense.
It would probably be the Four Non-Blondes.
Oh,
one of my favorite songs. Oh, you put me on the spot. I'm trying to remember her song. What's up
from Four?
The Four Non-Blondes.
They're called Four Non-Blondes.
It's just listening to their album. And it's funny you asked that, because every weekend we have an 80s night, usually a Friday or Saturday. It's our 80s night. So our kids know all the 80s songs, right? And they know mommy's favorite is What's Up by the Four Non-Blondes. Oh, you had to listen to it. It's really cool.
I'm a pretty versed music person. And
love these girls. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Me too. Okay. Music is amazing.
We've talked lots, and we're going to be talking again. Absolutely. This is the beginning.
Yes.
And hey, I'm super excited. This is your first podcast.
I'm so excited. I love it. I was a little nervous, but this is, it comes so easy, right? It's just, and we talk, and it's just, we connect really, really well. And I love that. I was very excited.
Yeah. But this is what, people think, look, we all have our firsts. So anyways, thank you for coming on to Mission Accepted. I want to just do a shout out to the audience again. Please share this episode. If something that you loved within it, send it in, let us know. Obviously, I always tell you to send the love on to the guests as well.
Definitely.
And you guys have heard lots of stuff that is going on. If you'd like to be on the show, absolutely, please reach out to me. We'll make a space for you to come onto the show. If you'd like to be a part of that incredible women's book that I talked about, it's 262 Women. It'll be launching in December. We need everyone to come in by September. So absolutely, if you want to purchase the book or have the book. And then if you'd like to give a quote, like I was talking about in the upcoming 2023 planner, which will launch September. So we need to get those quotes in right now.
Yes. I want to be a part of all of that. It sounds so exciting. It's my cup of tea.
It's our cup of tea. Okay. So it's your cup of tea, audience. I expect to hear from you. Dee, I know we're going to be talking probably next week, because I've got an article going in your magazine I'm excited about.
Definitely.
And
thank
you so much for taking time. I know you've been doing a lot. So you've been busy and you got the magazine coming, but thank you so much for making time for us and our audience today.
Thank you so much, Deborah. It was a pleasure. And thank you for my first podcast interview. I had a great time. Thanks, Dorothea. I really appreciate your time.
Okay. Thanks, thank you. Lady.